Each month, we've checked in with Great Lakes commentator and journalist Gary Wilson for updates on environmental stories from around the basin. This year, we've covered diverging water, budget woes, algal blooms, and more. Gary Wilson looks back at some of the major environmental stories of 2013 with current state's Mark Bayshore. Gary started with the two biggest issues surrounding the growing presence of tar sands in the Great Lakes region.
One is the potential for shipping of tar sands oil on the Great Lakes. The Great Lakes have shipped petroleum products, for a number of years, but tar sands is different. And I think you and I have talked about this a couple of times. And then the other one is the storage of the byproduct, petroleum coke, pet coke. You know, there were issues in Detroit related to the storage in near neighborhoods and also in Chicago, which both garnered a lot of headlines. So those are the two big issues that the region is grappling with right now.
How has the region addressed the issue so far?
A lot of it is raising awareness. I would say especially with the shipping issue, that kind of snuck underneath the radar. It didn't get a whole lot of play when it was first announced, and there was practically no discussion of it for about 6 months. But now groups have become aware, as it looks like it's moved closer to being a reality. So there is a movement in process to generate some press about it, get people involved in talking about the risks associated with shipping tar sands oil. It doesn't react like other petroleum products. If there's a problem, it doesn't stay on the surface. It sinks, and that's a huge issue. So right now we're kind of in the raising awareness of the issue problem, and the same is also true with the petroleum coke, the pet coke. Although that's gone a little bit further because there have been actual problems with that. So you do have some action happening there and politicians lining up on that one.
Is there a consensus that will emerge for the region to balance its energy needs with the environment? Do you think there is an emerging consensus there?
I don't know if it's an emerging consensus, Mark. I think it's based on what I've been hearing and reading, especially coming from Minnesota and Wisconsin. I think that they see the shipping of tar sands oil on the Great Lakes as a fait accompli. It's going to happen. I think even the most strident environmental groups, they understand the economic realities, and we have energy needs and demands, and it's not like they're trying to outright ban the shipment of tar sands oil or deny that pet coke is going to be a byproduct. What they want is, reasonable management of both, being prepared for problems, accidents when it comes to shipping the tar sands oil on the Great Lakes, and protection for the communities that are adjacent to these refineries that where the tar sands is stored. So I think that there, I don't know if I'd call it a consensus, but there's, I think, an emerging view that we need to deal with the realities, and that's probably the best that we're going to do.
Another significant environmental development this year was the Great Lakes Governors Summit. Remind us why this meeting was so significant.
Mark, I debated whether to put this one on my year-end list because governors, having a meeting is not really necessarily, all that newsworthy sometimes, but I did because it was initiated by Governor Snyder, who is, 2.5, 3 years into his term, is elected to try to take a leadership position on the Great Lakes issues. But the governors have been dormant. Mayors have been very active in Great Lakes issues. Representatives, federal representatives in the House and Senate have engaged. And the governors, for some reason, have just been kind of sitting on the sidelines. There was a new class of governors that came in 2010, and they were focused and still are mostly on economic issues, and that's by necessity. We all understand they've got economies to revive. But, the Great Lakes are a tremendous economic engine of themselves, and Governor Snyder took it upon himself, with the help from Governor Quinn in Illinois, to try to engage the governors. It remains to be seen what will happen, though. It's one thing to have a meeting. It's another thing to follow through.
Beyond regional governmental action, the Great Lakes were also part of a national debate this year. The House Appropriations Committee voted to cut Great Lakes restoration funding from $300 million down to $60 million. What did Great Lakes advocates take away from this funding development?
Well, I think they learned a lesson. The amount was eventually restored to about $285 million, but the lesson learned is how volatile funding for Great Lakes restoration issues can be. To their credit, the representatives from around the region banded together and were able to get the funding restored. But, you know, we're in budget battles for the foreseeable future, and it's a very volatile situation. So I think that the lesson learned there is to be ever diligent, and I think we also need to, you know, to do some planning to what happens if the funding dries up, because it's I don't know that it's a probability, but as I said, we're in a volatile budget period.
Would another proposal like that surprise you?
No, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't. You know, when you get into horse trading, Mark, when in budget battles, and you know, everything's on the table. And you know, there are a lot of powerful people who are in on your committees that spend the federal dollars, and they're not invested in the Great Lakes, so it wouldn't surprise me at all.
We've talked about Waukesha, Wisconsin's quest for water diversion several times on Current State. What's new on that front? Is Waukesha going to get its water?
I don't know if they're going to get its water, but I can tell you that Waukesha has met reality in the past few weeks. Since they formally filed their request with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, everybody's commenting on it. The Wisconsin, a coalition of environmental groups in Wisconsin, came out strongly against the diversion request. Mayors from around the region, including in Canada, wrote the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, you know, really questioning the need for Waukesha to get Lake Michigan water. And then just this week, Michigan Representative Rudy Hobbs from Southfield, he is leading a movement in the legislature to get a resolution requesting that Governor Snyder, when it does hit his desk, to veto the request. So that's the reality that Waukesha is facing. It's and the request hasn't even gone to the other states yet.
What's the biggest takeaway from all of this in the Waukesha case?
Water diversion in this region is an emotional issue. When you start talking about, especially in Michigan, when you're surrounded by water, when you start saying we're going to divert it outside the basin, that gets everybody's attention. And Waukesha's proposal is, you know, got a couple of glaring weaknesses that they haven't addressed. Now, part of this, I think, is sort of preemptive moves by a number of people to get Waukesha to the real proposal, to the real number of the real quantity of water that they need. They've grossly overpublished what they need, and part of this may just be posturing so they can get to the real number. But it's going to be a tough sell.
What do you consider the most underreported environmental story of the year in the Great Lakes area?
Mark, I'm not sure if it's underreported, but I don't think people really pay a lot of attention to it, and that's been the dredging issue. There's been a lot of dredging this year because of the low lake levels, but there's also a move afoot by representatives in Congress, led by Michigan Representative Candace Miller, to get some more comprehensive funding for dredging in the Great Lakes. But it's not a... it's not a sexy story. There are no big Asian carp jumping out of the water. There are no slimy green algae to see and to affect you when you go to the beach. You know, it's sort of the day-to-day work that must go on. But it's an important issue because it's important for the economy of the region. I think there has been reporting on it, but I don't think people really pay much attention to it. It's sort of like the guard on the offensive line. He doesn't get a lot of credit for blocking.
Yeah.
But the running backs sure appreciate him.
Since you brought up the Asian carp, how can you summarize what happened in 2013 on that front?
It's kind of status quo, Mark, on what happened in 2013. The federal government's fighting the good fight with some preventive measures, but what everybody is waiting for is 2014. That's when this big Army Corps of Engineers study is coming out called the Great Lakes Mississippi River Interbasin Study. Only the Army Corps could come up with a name like that. But this is the study that was mandated by Congress 18 months ago, and that will set the tone for what's going to happen in 2014 and beyond. It's controversial, and it's going to get its due around the region. I know in Michigan, at some point in the not too distant future, there'll be public hearings in Traverse City, and also in that college town that has a football team south of East Lansing. There'll be some hearings there.
Looking back and looking ahead with Gary Wilson, Great Lakes commentator and journalist. Gary, thanks as always.
Mark, thank you, and it's been good to be with you guys this year.
Same here. This environmental segment is supported by Michigan State University's Knight Center for Environmental Journalism. More news on the Great Lakes environment is available at greatlakesecho.org.